I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Wednesday, August 19th. Well, Ed Grennan has been appointed the new Quincy DPW commissioner. Mayor Thomas Koch has named Grennan to replace Al Grazioso, who is retiring at the end of this month after 9 years at that post. Grennan is the current head of TPAL, the Traffic Parking Alarm and Lighting Department. Quincy traffic engineer Allie Luff will replace Grennan as head of the TPAL department. Grazioso turned 72 recently and is retiring after 30 years of service to the city. Grazioso also previously worked for the state lottery and the state treasurer's office. Grennan has led the TPAL department for the past 5 years. Two real estate companies will pay a total of $500,000 to the City of Quincy Affordable Housing Trust Fund after the Attorney General's office found that their merger had an adverse impact on renters. Avalon Bay Communities and Equity Residential agreed to make the payment and also to divest two buildings that they own in downtown Boston. The companies own and operate six apartment buildings in Quincy, and state officials said the company's merger reduced competition in Quincy, which can lead to higher rents, worse lease terms, and lower quality amenities for renters. The companies own and operate multiple rental properties across the state, and the Attorney General's office says it will continue to address housing affordability and protect consumers. The payment to the Quincy Affordable Housing Trust will be used to support affordable housing preservation and development in the city. Well, the transformation of a historic home in Quincy Center into new affordable housing is nearing completion. The property on Spear Street is being restored and renovated to create between 8 and 13 housing units for Quincy residents that meet affordability standards. Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch says the project is in the right place at the right time. The city purchased the property for $2.1 million in 2023 using money from the Affordable Housing Trust Fund. The property was built by land magnate Seth Speer in the early 1800s. Previously, a 32-unit private development was proposed for that site, but was denied by city regulators. Massachusetts has been added to a growing list of states linked to a multi-state cyclospora outbreak, with 147 cases reported in the state so far this season. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration added Massachusetts and Maine to its list of states affected by the outbreak, which has sickened over 9,400 people across 17 states as of August 13th. Massachusetts has reported 147 cases between May 1st and August 1st, according to the State Department of Public Health. While that is a higher than usual seasonal total, the number remains within the state's historical range. Annual case totals in Massachusetts have ranged from 23 to 211 between 2016 and 2025. The next state update is expected in early September and will include cases reported through August 31st. The peak season for cyclospora, a parasite that can cause severe diarrhea and other gastrointestinal symptoms, runs from May 1st through August 31st. Because the parasite has a relatively long incubation period and more people may seek testing amid increased attention to the outbreak, the state expects to receive additional case reports into the fall. Nine statewide ballot questions will face all Massachusetts voters this November, and a new poll finds that nearly all of them are likely to pass at this stage. More than half of the participants in the new UMass Amherst WCVB poll said they would probably or definitely vote yes on seven of the nine questions. The poll is based on responses from 800 registered voters collected between August 5th and the 12th. The margin of error for the poll is 4.4%. The two questions that did not have majority support at this stage involve overturning the legalization of recreational marijuana and allowing employees of the Committee for Public Counsel Services to engage in collective bargaining. Last month, state election officials announced that the questions will appear in this order on the ballot. Question 1, expanding the public records law. Question 2, collective bargaining for public defenders. Question 3, state primary elections. Question 4, election day registration. Question 5, state revenue limits and rebates. Question 6, natural resource conservation fund. Question 7, on single-family home zoning. Question 8, prohibiting the retail sale of adult recreational use marijuana. Question 9, on firearms regulation. A sex offender appeared in court on several charges, including allegedly using sunglasses with a camera to record children at the Frog Pond on Boston Common. Yesterday, officers arrested 60-year-old Mark Sullivan of Brockton. Sullivan is charged with photographing the sexual or intimate parts of a child. He pleaded not guilty. According to police, officers responded last Friday to the area of Beacon Street investigating a report of a suspicious person. Witnesses told police the suspect was recording children at the playground using sunglasses with a camera installed in them. Witnesses also said the suspect used his cell phone to record the children. Additional witnesses told police the suspect used the glasses to record a family who was attempting to change their child, who was wrapped in towels for privacy. According to prosecutors, Sullivan has previously served 2 separate terms in state prison on child pornography charges. He is a level 3 sex offender. A judge ordered Sullivan held on $250,000 bail with conditions that include staying away from Boston and the Frog Pond, having no contact with minors, having no internet access, and surrendering all electronic devices. If he makes bail, he'll also be required to remain under home confinement. Sullivan is due back in court in September. Now, testimony resumes today in the murder trial of Lindsay Clancy, the Duxbury mother accused of strangling her 3 children in 2023. Yesterday, Lindsay Clancy's defense called several witnesses, including doctors and her former mother-in-law, as they continued their attempt to convince the jury that her mental health struggles were so significant that she could not be criminally responsible for the children's deaths. Dr. Paul Zeisel, a clinical and forensic psychologist who previously worked with military survivors of attacks in war zones like Afghanistan, testified about meeting with Clancy at the hospitals after the killings. He said that Clancy remembered the killings, but, quote, it was fuzzy. Zeisel also testified Clancy had described hearing a male's voice ordering her to kill the children and then herself. When asked if he had planted that story with Clancy, he responded, absolutely not. Another medical witness called by the defense, Dr. Elizabeth LaPosada, a former medical examiner who also testified for the defense in the Karen Reed case. Clancy appeared to be crying as LaPosada discussed the injuries she suffered in the suicide attempt, including cutting injuries and an interpretation of how her spine was injured when she fell. Testimony appeared designed to counter the prosecution's suggestion and evidence that minimized the severity of the cuts and raised doubts that she jumped out of the window based on blood on the shingles. Susan Clancy said her daughter-in-law reached out to her in November 2022 and told her she was sad and experiencing insomnia, and she seemed to be struggling with postpartum depression. The testimony continues today in Plymouth Superior Court. Well, the free Wally Beach Wednesday concerts on Wollaston Beach in Quincy continue tonight. Sid Slacks and the Elastic Waistbands performing 70s rock to hip-hop. The free concert begins at 6 p.m. across from the Clam Box. Check of business news. This morning, stocks pulled back. Yesterday, the Dow was down 116. The NASDAQ dropped 355. And the S&P lost 53. Shares also slipped in Asia. The dollar fell. The euro rose. Oil at $91 a barrel. Sports: Red Sox beat the Diamondbacks at Fenway 9-4 last night. They'll wrap up the series at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The National Weather Service forecast for today, partly cloudy, warm and humid, high of 87. For tonight, some patchy fog, a low in the mid-60s, an isolated thunderstorm possible tomorrow. Still warm, high of 85. Sunday and Friday, the high of 82, and cloudy on Saturday with a high of 78. For the boater, waves about a foot, southwest winds 5 to 10 knots, high tide 5:07 p.m. Sunrise 5:55, sets at 7:39. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Wednesday, August 19th.